Well, it is, as they say, always something. Sorry for the late start. Again, this seems to be a week of late starts. But this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that is, in fact, where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. And you'll be met there by, well, people, I can't tell you who will meet you there right now, because I'm not in there. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This program is live on the 17th day of August, 2017. There should be no buffering. There should be no clipping. Everything should be happy, happy, happy with the broadcast. I hope it is. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for telling me that White Rose Society is hot and Head On Live is hot. That makes me very, very happy. It puts me somewhat at ease. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And my first thorn was, for some reason or another, having the monitor not come on when I needed the monitor to come on. Go figure. Who knows? Some days the magic works. Some days the magic doesn't work. But I'm here. We're here together, aren't we? That's right, neighbor. We are. And so, slowly but surely, we will get the program rolling and see where the conversation takes us this evening. Obviously, much attention is turned at this point in time toward Barcelona, where there was a brutal, vicious terrorist attack today. At least one person dead, many injured, because there are people among us who get their jollies on murder and death because they are religiously insane. Although, given the fact that you had vehicular homicide by fanatic Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia last weekend, and you've got vehicular murder in Barcelona today, sort of confirms what I've said over a long period of time, namely that it's not the particular brand of religion, but the fundamentalist variety of it that turns out to be so goddamn deadly. I think that stands to reason at this point. I think I'm vindicated, if indeed I needed to be vindicated. Finally, I'm into the chat room, so if you'd like to be there, I'll be there too. If you pick out a screen name and a password, you'll be greeted by Anatole and Hoghead and Silent R. Lamar and Ralps and V.T. Blom. And most of the week, utility pinch hit chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. I guess there's some buffering going on. I wish I knew why. I apologize. I will try not to throw a temper tantrum and walk away from the microphone. I think I can be successful in that. Hopefully everything will not come crashing to the ground. A gentle reminder that this is, in fact, a listener-supported broadcast. We have no ads. We have no commercials. We have no paid product placement. We have, plain and simple, your support. And, well, it's all that stands between this us and this broadcast not existing. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, Silent R. Lamar. There is a rule against playing Billy Joel on this program. So that will not be. That will not be the bumper. In fact, I've got a different bumper in mind, depending on. Depending on what we talk about. Clarity says, put yourself at ease. Is that in West Virginia? The truck bombs now are just trucks. Iraq can happen anywhere, and Baghdad is where you might not be. That's true. Yay. Thank you, Robert in Australia. No buffering in Oz. Good. Well, how very strange. I haven't booted into Windows. That's really weird. So, 17th of August, 2017. We pulled up short in fundraising last night, but thanks to the overnight crew, our steadfast month-in, month-out subscribers, we do not have $325 to raise this evening. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers. We have only $270 to raise. And that is very, very helpful. Thanks, y'all. So if you would like to help keep this broadcast going, $270 is 10 at $27 or 27 people at $10. Or one at 270, or two at 135, or 6750, yeah, for four. My head begins to hurt. Never mind. The PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com. And if you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, just click that little box. You, too, will get a bumper sticker or bumper stickers. No. Silent R. Lamar, just give up on trying to DJ. Ain't going to have no Merle Haggard, neither. I've got an idea. But it depends. Like I said, it depends on where we go with all of this. Before the news broke of the attack in Barcelona, and this is, you know, this is one of those frustrating times when you start out thinking the program's going to be one thing, and then something happens that makes it be about something else. And it sort of throws things for a loop. I'm really sick to death. No, not to death, but I'm really all Nazi'd out. I hate them. I hate what's become of this country. But if I'm feeling it, it's almost a rock-solid guarantee that you are too. And yet I got a note from Brother Deacon Asa earlier today. It said simply, "Oh, great." Now, bear in mind, Brother Deacon Asa is in Vancouver, British Columbia. "Oh, great. I just learned we're having our own filthy Nazi protest in downtown Vancouver on Saturday. Jesus fucking Christ. What are the Nazi shitflakes peeved about in Canada? We don't have no treasonous dickhead statues here. Well, if it's like the other plan, but yeah, but do you have Google there? Because this sort of got blown past in the mayhem from Charlottesville, but the Nazis and the Klansmen and the men's rights movement, otherwise known as the Tiny Penis Patrol, they all have their own sort of twisting, elliptical, helical intersectionalities. Well, I've been wearing that word out for a couple of days since I got back, haven't I? And, for instance, they're aggrieved at the Google. They're aggrieved at the Google because a misogynist right-wing prick published a manifesto. I mentioned this last night. Published a manifesto saying that the women folks ain't in tech positions because there's a lot of questioning in the tech industry, especially in Silicon Valley, but in the tech industry for why it seems to be a skeevy white boys club. And the corporations are working hard, at least on the at the executive level, or putting out the trying to put out the appearance that they're working hard to try to bring more diversity into their ranks. And I'm sure you've read about it by now. It got all over the place. It was probably the first hot story that hit while I was gone. And what it boils down to is that this right-wing turd, some engineer at Google, wrote a manifesto talking about how women aren't in tech positions because their brains don't work that way. It's sort of, it's an extension of the toxic thinking that that runs from the home base created by Charles Murray. Nazis and right-wingers cannot resist eugenics. It's like a, you know, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. And so because they are so inherently insecure, they have to find explanations to support their various and sundry bigotries. Well, this jackass published an internal manifesto basically saying that women aren't part of, don't have a lot of positions in tech industry because vaginas. And, you know, they all suffer from vagina brain. This then caused a backlash of people who were furious about the idea that this kind of bigotry would be tolerated. Google employees were pissed off. Some saying that if that guy was not gone toot sweet, that they would be. That they didn't want to work in a company whose senior engineering staff would manifest such attitudes. And if you want to go and find it, you can. It's all full of self-victimization and a lot of crawling up on the cross and hammering in his own nails. It's silly and disgusting, and it's written at he tries to bullshit around his own bigotry. I value diversity and inclusion. I'm not denying that sexism exists and don't endorse using stereotypes. When addressing the gap in representation in the population, we need to look at population-level differences in distributions. If we can't have an honest discussion about this, then we can never truly solve the problem. Psychological safety is built on mutual respect and acceptance. Yeah, right. I mean, at Google, we talk so much about unconscious bias as it applies to race and gender, but we rarely discuss our moral biases. Political orientation is actually... So he gets up on the... We're worried about the people with vagina brain, but what about us with conservative brain? There's no room for right-wing turds like me. And blah, 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 blah. And it goes on for 10 goddamn pages. We always ask why we don't see women in top leadership positions, but we never ask why we see so many men in these jobs. These positions often require long, stressful hours that may not be worth it if you want a balanced and fulfilling life. If you've got a vagina. Status is the primary metric that men are judged on, pushing many men into these higher-paying, less satisfying jobs for the status that they entail. Hey, dumbass, higher paying is more satisfying. Dipshit, why don't you go swab toilets for sub-minimum wage for a few weeks and tell me about the lower stress, higher satisfaction, yada, yada, yada. But that's the background, because after the turd wrote this, eventually, Google fired James Damore, who is just, you know, he's just the typical scrawny white male pencil neck geek. And he claimed he was wrongfully terminated. And he said he was terminated for political reasons. Interviewed over Skype. Just listen to the little turd. Come on. Huh, so that's not going to work today. But they let him go. They let him go because he said things within his workplace environment that were contrary to, you know, what Google says it believes in. Now, this is not me falling in love with Google. But they let him go. So he immediately became a martyr for the right-wing cause. And as a result, from places like San Francisco to apparently Vancouver, there are going to be right-wing turds protesting. As Carol Baker notes, let them boycott Google. Good luck searching on Alta Vista. Carol adds, he should have just entitled his screed, "Why I Never Get Laid and Still Live in My Mother's Basement." Yeah. Little cowbillage for that. But this is what's got the going to have the Klan and the Nazis and the skinheads and the men's rights activists and all these other putrid, pathetic, misanthropic attempts at humanity protesting at where Google locations all over the continent. Because one pencil neck geek is intimidated at the thought that there might be women out there in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics roles who are better at it than him. Don't start, Asa. What's wrong with the playback, Bob? Do you have a female audio engineer in the Horn Studios? No, it's just me. But for all I know, the internet would respond more positively to Agnes. And so places like that website that rhymes with light and fart immediately made this guy a martyr. Oh, yeah, because, you know, that website is just one long white grievance. Damore, D-A-M-O-R-E, immediately responded to a question from the website that rhymes with light and fart. They just fired me for perpetuating gender stereotypes. On the other hand, the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, said that he had violated their code of conduct, perhaps by being a misogynistic prick. Who knows? But all he had to do is not be an asshole. That's how low the bar is. That's how low the bar is for white males in the high-tech industry. Just don't be a prick. But the Klansmen and the Nazis and the white wingers and the skinheads and the nationalists and the Republicans can't do that. They can't even stay below the very, very low bar of don't be a prick. And so, consequently, a whole bunch of other pricks are hell-bent on protesting at Google sites on Saturday. Matt in San Francisco sent me one link. Apparently, the protest is planned in San Francisco for Chrissy Field, which has as its backdrop the Golden Gate Bridge. Apparently, a lot of people walk their dogs in Chrissy Field. And by and large, they're pretty responsible pet owners, and they pick up the leavings and put them in the trash. The thought being now, no, let's don't do that. Let's bring extra for the right-wing turds so turds can hang out with turds. Charming. Our buddy James wrote to me about the planned protest at Chrissy Field. We were talking about what Glenn wrote in last night, talking about being finishing at WVU in 1983. James said, 1983-ish, that was around the time I was working replacing the roadbed on the Golden Gate Bridge. I put the bat signal out. If the Nazis do Chrissy Field, I want a banner on the bridge. Any ideas, y'all? Feel free to share. So that, but they're not going away because we have a fetishized approach to the First Amendment that doesn't, it's not even discouraging, but actually encouraging of these Nazis. And I've seen some silver lining people saying, hey, you know, there's really not that many of them. We're better than this. And I understand the impulse behind that. But there doesn't have to be a lot of them to start with. They're generally, in terms of revolutions, aren't a lot of people involved with them. It's rather typical of them that it's a matter of getting the ball rolling and then getting people behind it. And that's why I've begun referring to what happened in Charlottesville as the Tiki Putsch. Because it was that. I mean, Putsch is a German word. I guess, what would the in French, a coup? A secretly plotted and suddenly executed attempt to overthrow a government. Well, make no mistake, that's exactly what the people in, well, I use the term people loosely, in Charlottesville had in mind. Their goal is to overturn the government of the United States, our government, we the people. And you may rest assured that if they are ever successful, they won't engage in any niceties about the First Amendment. The speech like takes place on this program will be immediately quashed. There won't be any more Malloy. There won't be any more Sam Cedar. There might not even be any more Tom Hartman. They don't get squishy about suppressing dissent. So that's where they're headed. It's what they want. And I may be wrong about all of this, but I'm standing by my first impressions. there are a lot more of them in this country than anybody you're going to, almost anybody you're going to see on the for-profit media is willing to admit. At the very least, or the most that you'll hear on the for-profit media, are statistical numbers, like the fact that 8 out of 10 Republicans still support a Nazi sympathizer. 8 out of 10 Republicans still support Donald Trump. There's a sort of say his name campaign going on now. Aimed at Republicans, trying to get them to actually say Donald Trump's name when they say there's no room in America for Nazis. But the vast majority of Republicans in this country and Republicans in the government can't do that. Because they agree with him. Yeah, sure. These aren't Republicans. And by the way, there in Charlottesville, don't kid yourself. It's not like there were any Jill fucking Stein voters or Hillary Clinton or Bernie voters there, okay? These were straight up Republicans marching. This was the Republican base marching. But there are a lot of Republicans who, you know, they won't fly a swastika flag. They won't wear a swastika T-shirt. They won't, you know, carve 88 into the side of their head or anything. But they identify. They look at these Nazis and they, well, you know, maybe they got a point. I remember years and years and years ago when Marge Schott, then the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, got herself suspended from going to her own team's baseball games for a little while for saying, Hitler had a few good ideas. Whoop! Back then, we didn't, at least Major League Baseball didn't have any problem saying, yeah, Marge, you can't say that kind of shit. Now, she'd be on Fox News claiming that she was discriminated against for being a Nazi. I mean, she tried to climb up on the cross, but she kept slipping back down back then. But there's a reason 8 out of 10 Republicans still support Donald Trump. Because they're still getting what they want from him. They still agree with most everything he agrees with. 8 out of 10 Republicans still want to take health care away from 10, 20, 30, hell, 50, 100 million people if they could get away with it. They still want to create a vagina police to monitor the reproductive systems of every woman in America of childbearing age and some that aren't. They want guns in the hands of as many people as they can get guns into so that we can have more open carry marches where the cops will turn around and show the armed Nazis, white supremacists, skinheads, NRA members all, nothing but assholes and elbows. In other words, they agree with Donald Trump because they're Nazi sympathizers too. Because when you have a Nazi problem, if you do not disassociate yourself, not just from the philosophical idea of Nazis, but also disassociate yourself from anyone who sympathizes with them, then you find yourself inside the little Venn diagram And at this point in time, I am content to say that anyone who is not calling for the immediate removal from office of Donald J. Trump is not only condoning his behavior as a Nazi sympathizer, but is getting in the Nazi sty with him. This is apparently causing some considerable, let's use another German word, Angst. There were some tears shed over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda today. A pretty blonde-haired white lady in a sunshiny yellow dress got all tearful because nobody would say that they're good Nazis. Oh, how I wish I was kidding. But I'm not. It really, really happened. I'll have it here just in a second. It was a discussion on one of those chatty programs that Fox produces throughout the day. And the the woman who was actually on camera during Mango Mussolini's meltdown of a couple of days ago, and who said at the time, "I cannot believe what I've just watched," and miraculously still has a job, was part of the discussion. Was part of the panel. But the centerpiece of it, the oh my God moment, came from the pretty white blonde lady. Who was terribly, terribly, terribly upset.
No one said equal, and that's one of the places where this went off the rails. He never said equal blame.
He said there were very good people among the neo-Nazi protesters. He did. Don't roll your eyes. He did say those words.
He Melissa. Didn't say.
Oh, Melinda just got called out. By the one saying he didn't say they were equal. He and that was another pretty blonde lady over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda who said, "Don't roll your eyes at me because, you know, they're very good at it. The eye rolling, the little white wingers."
There were very good people among neo-Nazi protesters.
He said there were very good people on the other side.
There are people that were opposed.
It was clear what he was talking about.
Look, can I tell you this? I am so uncomfortable.
Okay, I don't know that this is a hockey puck moment. It might just be a get your bicycle horn out and toot it loudly and laugh uproariously moment. this is a pretty white lady, pretty blonde white lady, like they all are on Fox. Who is on the verge of tears because no one's standing up for the Nazis.
Having this conversation. And that's what this woman said before this, because I know what's in my heart, and I know that I don't think anyone is different, better, or worse based on the color of their skin, but I feel like there is nothing any of us can say right now without being judged.
You know, Melissa.
She's being judged because she knows. She knows there are good Nazis. She does. Because she is one. And there were good people who didn't want those memorials to slavery to come down. They were just good people who love their heritage and their history of human bondage and torture and imposed agony. And she knows they're... Oh, she knows there are good Kleagles out there.
There have been a lot of tears on our network and across the country and around the world. We have people who are serving, as my father did. He came to visit. We took him to the Statue of Liberty for the first time in his life yesterday. We cried together. It's a difficult place where we are, but it's not where we've been. It's where we are.
This is a black lady talking about crying with her daddy at the Statue of Liberty, which is not quite the same thing as crying at, you know, the statue of Robert E. fucking Lee. Not by a mile. Hey, good Todd, man. Good to hear from you via email. I don't know. This is my first sound level complaint of the evening. But I'm keeping the sound levels just below the point where we begin to get clipping. Because if we start clipping, I get a lot more emails about how the program is unlistenable. So, and for all I know, I'll get more. But maybe it's a conspiracy just to get me to, you know, turn the microphone off altogether, and then there won't be any clipping. But no, I'm not being mean, good Todd. It's just that the sound levels are what the sound levels are, and they can't be much different, or else I'll get a lot more complaints. For instance, let's see here. One little click. But this I could have saved this for Moran Monday, but it won't hold. But it fits perfectly with the idea of Thorn in the Side Thursday. And the saddest thing is that there are lots of white people out there crying with her because they are inadequately educated. They do not understand.
Is a new fit?
Oh, I hate auto-run audio. They do not understand why the statues were put up in the first place. They have no conception of the fact that the statues were erected long after the Civil War, that they were erected as a means of warning, of intimidation. Yeah. And they're fighting over hair splitting over words. You, I, me, we, us. All saw the the great coming apart in the lobby of that disgusting pile of concrete and steel and glass known as Trump Tower. We saw Donald Trump say what was on his mind. And we also are aware of the fact that the only people who straight up came out and praised it were people like David Duke and Richard Spencer and the neo-Nazis and the Klansmen and the skinheads and the bigots and the xenophobes and the homophobes. Everybody else heard him saying that there are good Nazis. That the violent Nazis, well, there's some bad people. But there were some good people too there. Nobody's confused about that. Except for Little Miss White Privilege, Melissa Francis, another one of those white power Barbies that keep popping up in right-wing circles. And she's and she goes to that place where the right-wing filthy right-wing side of the internet. Look at that. The mean commies made a pretty white lady cry. And she's just a good little Nazi. She'd make a great breeder for the Reich. Because, you know, they still talk about that eugenic horse shit. Yeah, it's actually worth hearing again. I can't resist. I'm sorry.
Places where this went off the rails. He never said equal blame.
He said there were very good people among the neo-Nazi protesters. Don't roll your eyes. He did say those words.
He didn't say there were very good people among neo-Nazi protesters.
He said there were very good people on the other side.
There are people that were opposed.
It was clear what he was talking about.
Look, can I tell you this? I am so uncomfortable having this conversation, and that's what this woman said before this, because I know what's in my heart, and I.
Yeah, why is she uncomfortable with this conversation? We've been having this conversation since I got back from vacation. That's 4 days ago. Have any of you been uncomfortable with this conversation? Because I dare say that we've had a lot more conversation about it than White Power Barbie over here ever has. Unless, of course, she's just sitting at home weeping into her Wonder Bread sandwiches. Are you uncomfortable? Let me see if anybody in the chat room's uncomfortable. I don't want anybody being uncomfortable. Hey, Anatole, Hoghead, Silent R. Lamar, Lizardo, Sentient Being, Squeaky, VT Blom, Steve. Are any of y'all are any of y'all made uncomfortable by talking about the Nazi sickness that infests our country? And I'm just kind of waiting now for the internet latency to catch up, since we're working live. But I suspect some of us were moved to tears when Heather Heyer was murdered by, you know, a Nazi. Ah, good. Thank you, Carol Baker. Carol says, I'm good with it. Well, I suspect you're a lot tougher than, what is her name? Melissa Francis. But Harris Faulkner comes to the rescue and pats her on her pretty little expensively coiffed white lady blonde head and says, we're all uncomfortable. You know, see, there's only one difference. Melissa Francis is uncomfortable because Nazis are being called Nazis, whereas the lady patting her on her pretty little white lady blonde head, if the Nazis and the Klansmen had their way, they'd be burning crosses in her yard because, see, she's a woman of color over on Fox. But, you know, I guess Harris Faulkner is paid well for being a collaborator. I mean, this just beats cats fucking.
People that were opposed
to the
statues.
It was clear what he was talking about.
Look, can I tell you this? I am so uncomfortable having this conversation. And that's what this woman said before this, because I know what's in my heart. And I know that I don't think anyone is different, better, or worse based on the color of their skin. But I...
Leave Britney alone!
I feel like there is nothing any of us can say right now without being judged.
You know, Melissa, there have been a lot of tears on our network and across.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. I can't take the collaborating again. From Brother Deacon Ace, a question. Why is it that all Trumpansies proudly claim they love the douche canoe because he's a straight shooter and he says what he means and means what he says? But for some reason, we have to read in between the lines when it comes to his praising Nazis. Is it maybe? But no, I got nothing. Anybody want to help? Carol Baker says, I know what's in her heart, too. She's wishing there weren't any wrong coloreds there holding her back. Ta-da. I'm halfway surprised Melissa Francis didn't say, Harris, honey, go get me a mint julep. You know what? The point where the camera gets up close to her and she blinks her eyes and... if that doesn't become like a gif in the next... If it hasn't already, I've lost all faith in the funny, sarcastic, satirical side of the left internet. Because the... And it's not like some mean progressive is on the couch making her cry. Another right-wing attack blonde a few inches away on the couch made her cry. For saying that Trump said there are good white supremacists, good Nazis. Like tears in rain. Yeah. So that's the filibuster, the filibobster. And we'll see where the rest of the... I got more stuff. Oh, trust me. I do. But if you've got something you want to say, you're welcome to jump in as well. You can reach the program, 304-574-8178. Or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And we'll just see what's we'll see what's on everybody's mind. Again, we've got $270 to raise this evening, so as we don't wind up trying to reach a Friday on the Front Porch miracle. Silent R. Lamar says, dear Bob, sorry for the slow response, but I was crying so hard over my keyboard that it shorted out. Shit, really, Bob, I'm so fucking heartbroken for Nazis. Kiss my ass. Yeah. I understand. It's painful. It's painful, isn't it? Well, it's Thursday, so we've got the Green News Report coming up. And you are welcome to participate thereafter. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is the horn. Let's take a little break and get the Kleenex out. And gosh, I hope poor Melissa's okay. This is terrible. I hate to see a Nazi cry. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't, because I can't take the break quite yet. All right, we can just admit it. We like crying Nazis, don't we? Of course we do. Christopher Cantwell, he's the skinhead that you saw in, if you saw the Vice News documentary about Charlottesville, talking about, of course I want to do violence. I want to do violence because, I mean, I carry a gun and I work out all the time. I'm ready to get violent. And we're looking for a leader who won't give his daughter away to a Jew. And he kind of talks out of the side of his mouth like a cross between Popeye and Carl the Greenskeeper. And apparently he's from, like, New Hampshire. And his claim to fame up there is that he harasses meter maids. Because Nazi. Well, he found out that, turned out there might have been a warrant out for him there in Charlottesville based on his Nazi conduct. And it led to, it caused him to put a video up on YouTube.
I contacted the local police. I called the Charlottesville Police Department, and I asked them, I said, I have been told that there's a warrant out for my arrest. And they said that they wouldn't confirm it, but that I could find this out if I, excuse me, that I could find this out if I wanted to go to a local magistrate or something like that. Yeah, but with everything that's happening, I don't think it's wise for me to be, you know, going anywhere. There's a state of emergency. The National Guard is here. You know, so I don't think it's a good idea for me to go there, frankly. And I don't know what to do. I've emailed Stephen Tenney of the Keene Police Department. Sorry. I have emailed Stephen Tenney of the Keene Police Department. He's one of the cops who came there. he's one of the cops who saved my ass when I had to pull my gun in Keene. And I emailed him and I said, I don't know what to do. I need guidance.
You got that? He's one of the cops who saved my ass when I had to pull my gun in Keene, New Hampshire. Yeah, I know. Carol Baker. Exactly. Spot on. Wait a minute. Yeah, Cal Bellage. They're badasses when they're behind the wheel or sporting their brass knuckles. They cry like little bitches when they get called on their shit. I know. Angry. And he emailed him after another incident in another state. No, this is a friendly relationship he had with the cops, with a cop in Keene, New Hampshire, who had previously, like, busted him or something. After he drew a weapon. A cop.
I want to be peaceful. I want to be law-abiding, okay? That was the whole entire point of this. And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful.
Yeah, you know, the tiki putsch, the attacking people, the showing up with clubs and guns and shields and helmets. Those were all attempts to keep things peaceful because, you know, the little kumbaya singing liberals were over there with howitzers. Not.
You know, I know we talk a lot of shit on the internet, right? But, like, literally, Jason Kessler applied for a permit, like, months ago for this, okay? When they yanked our permit, we went to the ACLU and we went to court and we won. We've been coordinating with law enforcement the entire time. Every step of the way, we've tried to do the right thing. And they just won't stop, you know? We have done everything in our power. We have used every peaceful and lawful means by which to redress our grievances.
Yeah, lawful means. You know, like using a car to murder or attempt to murder one person and attempt to murder several others. Peaceful, lawful means, like bringing guns so as to let the police know that they were outnumbered, outmanned, and outgunned, and would turn and flee. It's peaceful and lawful. I mean, intimidating the police and preventing them from being able to carry out their lawfully delegated public safety duties. Yeah, it's absolutely peaceful and lawful. But he's still crying.
And our enemies just will not stop. We've been fucking assaulted. They are threatening us all over the place. Chelsea Manning, this tranny fanatic, has a picture of himself, herself, talking about curb-stomping Nazis with a picture of his boot coming down on somebody.
You know what's interesting? If you go over to the Nazi websites, you can't hardly click without finding a picture of a boot coming down on somebody. No, this isn't. Mark the calendar, August 17th, 2017. This is actually a couple of days older, a couple of days older than tonight. But the day Chelsea Manning made a Nazi cry. I mean, if Chelsea didn't run out to like the local tattoo parlor and get 8/17/17, or you know 8/15/17, whatever, just tattooed on some part of her body. I wouldn't blame her if she did. Chelsea Manning is so terrifying, she makes Nazis cry.
We are trying to make this peaceful. We are trying to be law-abiding, and our enemies will not stop. What options do we have left?
Kill yourself. There's your option, Christopher Cantwell. Kill yourself. You're a Nazi. Okay? Kill yourself. You've got the gun. It's easy. Pop the slide. Take the safety off. Point it at your head. Pull the trigger. Stick it in your mouth. Pull the trigger. Kill yourself. That's the options that you and all the other Nazis have. And then you can fly away to Valhalla. That was very mean of me, but gosh darn it. I guess I get all worked up when Nazis cry.
If somebody would like to inform me of that, then I will be grateful to you. I really will. I guess that's basically it. I don't know what else to say. You know what? I'll just say it here. 631-791-5842. If law enforcement wants me to turn myself in, or they want to know my location, all they have to do is call that number.
Jesus jumping Christ! What a little moment of white privilege. White skinhead privilege. Here's my phone number. Law enforcement can just call me if they want me to turn myself in. How about they You know, what was it? It was a couple of weeks back. We had the story of the innocent man in Mississippi. The cops couldn't figure out which house they were supposed to go to get a guy who was wanted for armed robbery. So they busted through. They didn't even bust. They shot him through the door. Murdered him where he stood. He, of course, had a Hispanic last name, like maybe Hernandez. I'm guessing that every person of color in this country who has seen this video has, with a wry sort of anguished humor, laughed out loud at that part. The sweet little privileged skinhead fucking Nazi saying, "Well, if the police will just call me, I'll be peaceable about it and come in and get arrested. Just call me." Yeah, call me. You know, that's not a terrible idea. Brother Deacon Asa says, we need to screen Inglorious Bastards for these poor little aggrieved snowflake Nazi fucks. Yeah, remember when we had the crying Nazi a couple of nights ago and Michael and Madison wrote in to... Jesus, it's a Nazi cuck! And in an update to this, this same creep, this same Nazi puke has been banned by OKCupid. Michael just sent me the link. Cantwell was banned for life from the popular dating site, too. Probably not too many women crying about it. The angry Indian pointing out, Chelsea Manning withstood human rights violations, including torture, while incarcerated within a U.S. military prison. This fucker, like the Bundy family terrorists, who were allowed to take over a federal property and destroy historical artifacts that can never be replaced, is playing the victim because it works. And the because it works part is because he's white. I mean, have you ever seen anywhere? I mean, if the clip exists, and if it exists, I bet Angry knows about it. Or maybe Isaac. Or a few of our more deep divers into the internet. Have you ever seen a black guy or a brown guy put up a video crying and pissing himself about being scared of the police after he was part of a goddamned murderous riot? Because I haven't. I just haven't. But if the police will just call me, I'll go peaceably. I really will. I promise.
Okay. And if we can set up a means of communication where I can verify that you're the police, I will go to the police station or wherever you tell me to go. Or if I can confirm that you are in fact law enforcement, I will give you my location and I will let you come and get me. Okay.
Oh, he'll let them come and get him. Well, isn't that just sweet of him? Carol says, I thought Trump and his followers didn't like losers. I like people who didn't surrender at Appomattox. Carol noting, I'm here in Kansas City, Bob. Want me to run over to Hallmark tomorrow and present my line of best regards on the death of your equally guilty daughter cards? Wow. Cowbell didn't get much of a workout for Monday and Tuesday. Got a little couple of jingles yesterday, but it's getting worked hard today. Yeah, Angry, I know. He will set the terms, just like the Bundy family. Yeah, nobody barreling through his door. No knocks for him, because he's a special snowflake. Hell, maybe if they arrested him, they could take him to Burger King. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes, of course it would. Because he doesn't He's not one of the bad Nazis. He's one of the good Nazis that Donald Trump was talking about. And that Melissa Francis was reduced to tears over. Yep, right. My God Almighty. It's breathtaking. The degree of this this white privilege. Is there anybody else? How does this happen? What's wrong with our country? Because there's something very badly wrong with our country when a Nazi can negotiate the terms of his surrender, but an innocent man gets blown the hell away before he ever gets a chance to.
I'm armed. I do not want violence with you. All right? I'm terrified. I'm afraid you're going to kill me. I really am. All right? So...
Well, you got nothing to be afraid of there, little Nazi. You're white.
Just let's do this however we need to do it. You know, if I got to go to jail today, you know, it won't be the fucking first time. All right? I don't want to. I don't think I should. I think I honestly believe that I've been law-abiding and... And I've been engaged in violence. I have. There's no question about it. And I.
You know, every time he does that, I wonder if he smells the aroma of his own shit from where he's crapping his pants. I know, Angry's patience is running out. Fuck this punk arse. Not much left.
Done nothing to hide that, but it was done in defense of myself and others. And I would not have done it for any other reason. And by the way, if University of Virginia was not a gun-free zone and I had my pistol, I would have stayed far away from that goddamn melee.
Okay. Oh, it's the University of Virginia's fault for being a gun-free zone, because the University of Virginia doesn't want the same thing to happen on its campus that happened on the campus of Virginia Tech. The hell ever happened to the Republican concept of personal responsibility? If he'd had it, if he'd had his gun, he wouldn't have gone into the melee. But he didn't have his gun, so therefore, he had to go into the melee? I'm having a hard time sorting that crap out.
Okay. When I do not have a weapon on me, I feel it necessary to stop threats before they get out of hand. Okay?
You know, especially threats that exist only in his imagination. Threats that happen well, you know, threats that are threats because people are alive. The Jews! Right?
When I have my weapon, I'm cool as a cucumber, folks. I do not fucking fight with people.
Where's his weapon then? I mean, it's not like he's not at a melee, and he's not on the campus of the University of Virginia. Why isn't he cool as a cucumber? He's cool as a cucumber when he's got his weapon. I'm okay when I've got my blankie.
Heard about it by now, right? If I was a violent guy, you would have heard about it by now. Everybody in their mother wants to fucking ruin my life, okay? And if I...
Oh, everybody else wants to ruin his life. I'm so sorry. It wasn't him ruining his own life by becoming a Nazi. It's everybody else ruining it for him. Goddamn liberals. And progressives, why did you have to go and ruin Christopher Cantwell's life? He's so delicate.
I wanted violence. It's not a difficult thing for a guy like me to find, okay? Yeah, there we go.
I'm still tough. I'm not going to be anybody's bitch in prison. Much. I'm not going to have a man in my mouth the first hour I'm there. Because, I mean, if I want violence, I can have violence. Because, see, he's real tough when he's got his shirt off and he's flashing his tats and he's... And he's being interviewed by Vice. But when shit gets real, not so much. God, what a rich field of potential bumpers this whole thing provides. It just tons of it. I mean, I thought about Godley and Cream and Cry. Or Boy George and The Crying Game. Or Roy Orbison, Cry. There's really no way to go wrong. But I settled on an oldie but a goodie. I like up-tempo stuff. I do. For bumper music, you want something with some go. You don't want people just kind of nodding off on you. So I think I'm pretty well set. I think we're pretty well set. Especially in light of the fact that I've almost filibustered the entire program away, or first half of the program away. Sparky just sent something along. It is being reported now. That part of the reason that the people showed up in, the little Nazis showed up in Charlottesville was because they were, you know, they can't get laid. The Atlantic reporting that one of the ways that they were recruited to come to Charlottesville was with promises of sex. Quote, "Random girls will want to have sex with you because you're the bad boys. Every girl on the planet wants you now." Those were the exact words that the website put out to entice these sex-hungry, racially charged dude bros to show up in Charlottesville. You're going to get so much sex if you come here, because nothing makes a woman want to swipe right more than seeing a guy with a tiki torch in one hand and a Nazi flag in the other. Right? Right. Well, they may get a lot of sex. Just, you know, it might not be the sex they were planning on. It might be like, you know, prison sex. Yeah, see, right. Patsy Cline, Carol Baker. I was there. I had that too. But I'm going for a little more nuance here. So let's do take that break. Green News Report coming up. Get your Kleenexes out. Let's dry our eyes. See if we can stop being so verklempt. And see what y'all have on your minds. All right, I really am. I'm going to break this time. Can we climb out of this $270 hole this evening, please, so that it's not a $470 hole tomorrow? Pretty please. And a reminder, we've got another subscription campaign going on over at patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. That won't come out till the first of the month. But, and we're trying to get like 340 $10 a month subscriptions over there. But we got 270 bucks to raise. Maybe some of it will happen during the break. I'll report if it does. Here we go. You guessed it, Michael and Madison.
It's Thursday, August 17, 2017.
I just signed a new executive order to dramatically reform the nation's badly broken infrastructure.
Trump revokes Obama's executive order protecting the nation's infrastructure from floods. July 2017 was the hottest July on record and the hottest month ever. Total solar eclipse to have a big impact on solar energy generation. Plus, national monuments on the chopping block in unprecedented monument review.
All of that chopping and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
When I make a statement, I like to be correct. I want the facts. Before I make a statement, I need the facts.
Also, global warming is a hoax created by the Chinese. Fact. Look it up. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, is it true that Obama had a bike share station installed near the White House and Donald Trump has now removed the bike share station?
Yes, that is indeed true. Like many things that Obama has set up, apparently the Trump administration has decided to remove that bike share station that's been there for 5 years.
Unbelievable.
No explanation given.
None needed. Obama liked it. Trump's got to get rid of it. What else do you have for us today, Desi Doyen?
Well, a bit of a bigger issue. Before President Donald Trump's press conference on Tuesday at Trump Tower veered off the rails and into the violence in Charlottesville, it was supposed to be about Trump's new executive order to fast-track the permit process for new infrastructure projects.
I just signed a new executive order to dramatically reform the nation's badly broken infrastructure permitting process. This overregulated permitting process is a massive, self-inflicted wound on our country.
Except Trump's new executive order actually puts infrastructure projects in harm's way with a little notice provision that revokes an Obama-era requirement that construction projects receiving federal funding should be designed to withstand growing flood risks in areas prone to floods. Scientists have already confirmed that costly extreme flooding events are increasing in frequency in the U.S., so the Obama rule was intended to reduce long-term costs to taxpayers who foot the bill to repair damaged infrastructure and pay property owners' flood insurance claims. Criticism of Trump's move was swift and bipartisan, condemning it as needlessly endangering people's lives and property. Of course, if we don't invest in flood protection now, we will pay more later in money and in lives.
Yeah, that's just red tape. Think of all the jobs that are created after floods when we have to fix all the federal buildings that we didn't protect from floods.
Well, see, there you go.
See?
Meanwhile, August 24th is the deadline for Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's unprecedented review of national monuments designated by previous presidents. That's when Zinke will submit recommendations for which monuments should be revoked or redrawn to allow access to extraction industries and developers, despite data that shows national monuments generate huge tourism profits for local businesses. Zinke has already pardoned a handful of monuments, but more than 20 remain on the hit list. The public comment period is over, but conservation groups are urging the public to pressure their elected officials during the summer recess to protect their public lands.
Like we don't have enough to pressure them about.
Meanwhile, July 2017 was the hottest July ever recorded globally, NASA announced this week. But worse, NASA also found that July 2017 was the hottest month ever recorded globally ever, beating the hottest month record set just last year. Scientists say this newest hottest month on record is remarkable because it occurred without an El Nino present to boost global temperatures and is yet another sign of the long-term warming trend. In Montana, a federal district judge has blocked the expansion of a coal mine, criticizing Department of Interior officials for, he says, inflating the short-term economic boost of the mine expansion, but downplaying the short- and long-term environmental impacts and climate change caused by the project. He ordered the Interior Department to reevaluate the mine expansion. Finally, transportation officials across the U.S. want folks to be aware of the potential for a Carmageddon of sorts if they're on the road during the total solar eclipse on Monday, warning of the risk of epic traffic jams and accidents due to distracted drivers. But the eclipse also poses a big challenge for electric grid operators in U.S. states where solar energy is a big contributor to the energy mix. Although California is outside the path of totality, their grid operator projects the eclipse will still cut the output foot of commercial solar power plants by an amount large enough to power a large city for about 3 hours. But they say they're ready. They're prepared to meet demand by ramping up power from hydroelectric dams and filling in the remainder with natural gas plants.
Yeah, but isn't it just like a cloudy day for 3 hours?
No, it's actually worse, and it also requires them to ramp up and ramp down faster. So it requires a little bit of savvy engineering.
Consider me dubious. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, dubious or not, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Once upon a time, there was light in my life. Now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. A total eclipse of the heart.
Yeah, I guess that that bumper's going to prove to be just a little bit irresistible. Probably for every disc jockey in all, every state on Monday. Big eclipse plans, have we? I don't. We're not particularly well in. We're not at all inside the big time eclipse zone. But I guess we'll get to see a bite taken out of the sun by the malevolent cosmic god who wants to take away the light from planet Earth. I'm sure there will be. Come on. The religion industry is the religion industry. You know they're out there raising money saying that this is a sign of the end times. Of course they are, because that's what they've done with every eclipse that's happened since John of Patmos started hallucinating, you know, out on Patmos. Let's go over and talk with, he's been on hold. Let's go check in with Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Hi.
What's happening, man?
Hey, man, how you been?
You know, a little vacation. Wasn't bad. Ate some awesome barbecue.
Uh-oh.
Yeah?
Watch out.
Oh, good barbecue.
That's great, man. That's a beautiful thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, and I'm not talking about some fancy chain that does, no. Mm-mm. This is just a little place. It's the only place. There's not a franchise. It's one little place, and they've still got a pit. And they do it old school, and they keep it, and the public, you can't even see how they do it. They keep
Damn.
It, yeah, they keep it, I mean, they keep it seriously secret. I mean, you can't even see behind the counter to see how they put the barbecue sandwiches and the hot dogs together.
Yeah, well, that's the real doo-doo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People are funny about it. Like, you might not understand that unless you live in the South, but or certain places, whatever. Yeah, people do that shit. You know what I mean? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. This Bluetooth thing is looking funny. All right, yeah, so, you know what? I don't know when I talked to you last. I don't know, we were talking about barbecue or something.
But we always do.
Yeah, so, yeah, we need to barbecue some people, and that's about it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know what, where are we now? What does it take? What does it fucking take? What does it fucking take? People have been saying what was going to happen. It's like, well, if you put your left foot in front of your right foot, you're going to go toward that pond and you're going to just walk in because you're a robot. Or, I don't know, that's not even a good analogy. All I'm saying is that everyone could see what was, you know, how this was going to transpire. So I don't see why people are so fucking surprised. I mean, I really don't.
Well, I suspect that no one of color in this country is surprised that we've got a bunch of Nazis and Klansmen. Because they've kind of known they were there all along.
They did.
Just breathe, man. You got all the time you need. Just breathe. Just get it out.
You caught. See, you know me. Oh, I did. Oh, man, I just got back from Jersey, too, so I got the medicinal, so I'm good. But listen, let me tell you something. Now, these people have told us, this motherfucker told us, number one, he told you people. I'm going to say you people, because I can, because I don't give a fuck. He told you people, might have been the second debate. He said, I'm greedy, greedy, greedy. Oh, and I'll be greedy for you, too. You know, the American people. And it was the same night. He said, you know, and I'm going to change things. I'm going to change it. I'm going to get it right. You know, so but get it right to him is make himself rich. And that's definitely a paraphrase. That is not correct, like the first statement I made. But larger than that, this guy, the speech, this is why I wanted to say something. Because you know the Bible better than a lot of people who follow it. But when he told that snake speech, and this was not that long ago, I'm struggling with the Bluetooth because I'm in the car and it's supposed to be having this Bluetooth shit, but I'm not going to fuck with it right now.
Okay, well, don't worry. Your audio is coming through fine as long as you're hearing me.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I have been using the Bluetooth, which is quite handy in the car. But anyway, there's a little story. It's called, like it's a frog and a snake. Basically, the snake tells the frog he's going to take him across the stream.
And you knew I was a snake when we started that, right?
This motherfucker told it. I have not heard anybody say, look, he told everybody what he's laughing at us. This motherfucker is Smith. He's crazy. He is really out there. He told us that. I don't know where it was. It was somewhere, I believe, maybe it was Tennessee. It was somewhere where they know what that fucking means. I think it was Tennessee, Missouri, someplace like that. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was near one of his rallies. And I know because my mother loves that. She's always that. What they told you, like, she's like, when mother, like Maya Angelou, when somebody tells you you're an asshole, listen to them. That's you know, I'm just boiling it down. You know what I mean? He told this motherfucker actually told people what the fuck he was going to do. So now this is where we are, right? This is where we are. Okay, we anybody who even has a modicum of exposure to history, American and world history, you know, my God, all you do is graduate 12th grade, you could have seen this shit coming. So why are people so surprised? And I'm asking you, Bob.
Well, I mean, but to that extent, Todd, you're asking the wrong guy. I mean, you remember me? I'm the one sitting here in the in the frayed purple robe with the shredded applique moon and stars and the magic eight ball with the cracked screen that says answer hazy ask again later and will thee kiss me in the dark baby written in glow in the dark paint across the front. Yeah, I knew what he was. Hell, I've known what he was for going on two decades. And before that, he was just a fuckwit with money that he never earned in the first place. You could, and you know, a daddy who was a goddamn Klansman, it turns out. You know, I saw a thing the other day where he said, maybe it was this morning. It all runs together. While, you know, while you were watching Washington Journal, I was, you know, doing that filthy thing I do in the morning. And I saw some reporter talking about how he talked to him back at the early part of the campaign when he went to Birmingham and people in Birmingham, Alabama were slavering after him. And he said, you know, my daddy always told me, you know, you've got a great nose for location, Donald, a great nose for location. A genius for location. And so, you know, in a statement like that, I mean, look, fathers and sons, okay? I talk about my dad on this program because my dad had a profound influence on my life.
Right.
Well, guess what? His dad had a profound influence on his life. And his dad was racist as fuck. Okay?
Yes, he was.
Him and his dad together running a business together when old Pappy Trump was still alive, they got stone busted by the federal government for racist landlord policies, for violations of the Fair Housing Act. That's when he hired Roy Cohn. Oh, I'm clipping. That's when he hired Roy Cohn to defend him.
Yep.
Okay? Daddy stayed with him, and you know that Daddy used the magic word, the magic filthy word, all the time there in Queens. Okay?
Wait a minute. If I'm wrong, correct me, but that was government teat money, too, because I believe that he got his big start when they started, doling out those contracts, you know, after FDR and said, well, we got to have some public housing. You know, that's a nice-sized contract, right?
Yeah. I think there was some front feet in the trough action going on, yeah.
So, this guy's always been a fraud, and...
Well, wait, Todd, let me finish, because I wasn't done.
I know you're not finished,
there's Trump, and he's remembering Daddy's words. Fast forward a little bit, since you were talking about the campaign, do you remember after the Access Hollywood tape came out, you know, the grab him by the pussy tape?
Yeah.
And do you remember how it began to, the information began to circulate that if somebody could just get their hands on the raw footage from The Apprentice, that the N-word was coming out of his mouth like a mighty river?
I do.
And how it was said that they were protected and locked away, and it turns out that the creator of The Apprentice had all of that stuff just stashed away where nobody could get it.
Yeah, Bob, I haven't, you know what? Yes.
Guess
yes.
What? It's okay. Yes. So Anonymous or anybody like that, there's your job. There's your job. Go get the Apprentice tapes. Go get the outtakes. Go get the raw footage and let America hear that man say, nigger, 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 nigger. Okay?
Right.
Because he does. Because that's the kind of filthy goddamn racist he is. And if we apply some Sherlock Holmes logic to this, then it only makes sense that he would be a Klan sympathizer because he was raised, he was suckled at the teat of racism from the moment he emerged from his mother's womb.
Well, there you go with your graphic analogies, and apparently you're correct. But yes, you know what? And I mean, maybe other people have thought about it. I hadn't thought about it because there hadn't been a peep about that. I do remember exactly what you're talking about. Yep. Yeah, because, right. And remember, right, okay, and I'm going to piggyback on you. Hey, Poppy, be quiet. I'm going to piggyback on you. Because remember, the first thing that he said, one of the first things, was like, oh, this press, we have to shut down the press because they're just spewing so many lies. We have to, you know, clamp down on free speech. Remember that? Because he knew people had, I mean, this, he didn't expect to get this far. Matter of fact, he's talking himself out of a job. But in the meantime, all he's doing is building a media empire for himself when he gets drummed out. Right, they're gonna make a deal. He's gonna be drummed out. He's gonna resign. He's gonna have to resign. He's gonna have to. But I'm moving too far forward. But yes, I do remember what you're talking about. Yeah, and that is, and it's out there. And see, that's the thing. Somebody's sitting on the proverbial pot. I told you to be quiet. on a pot of gold. You know what I mean? And those tapes, because now, in other words, we and the people who follow him in the past week, this past week, this is who he really is. He's very fucking irritated. It took him, during the campaign, what 70-year-old white motherfucker do you know that has never heard of white supremacy or the Klan? Either you're a liar or you're goddamn ignorant.
Liar. I mean, it's pretty easy. Liar.
So, you know, come on, man. Stop playing that game.
Well, look, you know he's heard of the Klan because it took a Herculean effort, but he was finally forced to denounce David Duke. Remember that too? See, Todd, it's not like there weren't any signs during the campaign.
And this
goes back onto the people who voted for him. All right? And it certainly rides the backs of the 8 and 10 Republicans who still support him. They knew. They didn't not hear about the Access Hollywood tapes. They didn't not hear about him grudgingly denouncing David Duke. They didn't, the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, they didn't not know that the fucker is a serial adulterer. The guy who came in third in the Alabama Senate primary Tuesday, Mo Brooks, Les Brains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy came out early in the campaign and said, well, I can't support Donald Trump. That man's an adulterer. He has sex with women, not his wife. That goes against my Christian values. Then as quick as Trump got elected, he said, I loves me some Donald Trump.
Yeah. See, all right, so you know what? This is where we are right now. I know I sounded a little lethargic and everything in the beginning, and I probably still do, but, you know, what the fuck? I'm tired. I've been all over the East Coast in the past couple of weeks.
Hey, I know the feeling. I've been to the Gulf Coast and back.
All right, so you know.
That's a thousand miles one way.
I heard about your seashells by the seashore with Scott, and you colored people had a nice little picnic. No, I'm fucking with you. No, I heard about that. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, we could do that. I'm fucking with you, man. We could do that. I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. This is what we need. We need regular people who fucking go in the backyard like, hey, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, that's a white dude, and he works over there, but guess what? And we can... I smell his food, he smells my food, and we talk shit. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. We don't need this bullshit. Because I'm at a funny age, man. I'm at that age where I remember when... these young people don't remember, man. People used to try hard. We didn't have to try. Man, it was like things were good. We didn't even fucking discuss this kind of bullshit because it was still too fresh from World War II, I guess, or Vietnam or whatever.
But, Todd, we had the bomb. Nobody was gonna fuck with us, and we had completely destroyed the Nazi threat from Germany, and we had absolutely ruined Japan. It was and Italy. Italy took care of fascism by themselves. I mean, once they turned on Mussolini, you know, up by the heels, motherfucker. And then immediate in the immediate aftermath of that, commies. And then then Korea, then Vietnam, commies, and. We sort of institutionally, governmentally forgot that, yeah, we beat the fascists, but we didn't drive them, we didn't wipe them out. We merely drove them to ground.
Oh, Bob, man, see, don't get me started on that, because that's a whole other problem.
Well, no, I went there for a reason, Todd. Because it, it's,
Go ahead.
I went there for a reason, because it's the same thing after the Civil War. I have said in the past, and I stand by it, that we would not have half the problems today if Jefferson Davis's elegant neck had been put inside a noose and given a righteous stretching for the treason that he committed. And the same with noble old Marse Bobby Lee. And the same with the rest of the leaders of the rebellion. Because they openly committed treason. They waged war against the United States. And you can't get any more treasonous than that. And then you've got nobody that Nathan Bedford Forrest, the man who founds the Klan. If that fucker goes to the gallows, no Klan.
Well, you know, I absolutely agree with you. And you know, in other words, right, Reconstruction was actually a failure because it ended too soon. And that's why a lot of people use that phrase on unreconstructed secession. It never really went away.
And, well, I mean, Reconstruction didn't end too soon. It was retreated from as a result of a terrorist insurgency committed, perpetrated by the South in the aftermath of the Civil War. There were two Civil Wars. There was the one with the armies in the field, and then there was the terrorist insurgency afterward. This is real history. I'm not making anything up. One of the monuments that they pulled down in New Orleans was a monument to the terrorist insurgency in response to Reconstruction. Okay.
Exactly. Right. A lot of people don't remember that. In New Orleans, I heard what you're talking about. Yeah. That was
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Klan itself is a part of the terrorist insurgency after the Civil War.
Okay. All right. So I'm just gonna say something on top of this, and then we can come right back into it. This country is not that old. This country's really young. To do all the shit we've done, it's very young. In terms economically, but of course, that was because of free labor. But, you know, regardless, it's a young country, so we still have... This is a growing pain. We will probably get through this. We will get through this. But I can see, before this is over, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be signs in the stores, just like Joey Vento in Philadelphia talking about, if you can't speak fucking English, don't come to my goddamn cheesesteak shop, right? Don't come in here if you can't speak English. Fuck him. And you see what happened to him? He had a heart attack and died. Fuck it. So I'm just telling you because I just came from home. I've been up and down the East Coast. That's what I've been doing for the past 2 weeks. So I'm just saying. And I'm going to tell you, suburban Jersey, we got a lot of work to do still. But suburban, I mean, there's a lot of Southern people, whatever they think, they're not prejudiced because he's from the North. That's bullshit. That is bull.
That whiny little piss ant Nazi, you know, he didn't come from Charleston, South Carolina. No, hell no. He came from Keene, New Hampshire, baby.
Yeah, and that's a big city. That's the biggest, what's one of the biggest places they got in New Hampshire? Ain't too much happening in New Hampshire. It's growing pain. He's a growing pain. And you see, these motherfuckers have been plotting. They've been pissed off ever since Goldwater. And I was always interested. I was a little fucking kid, but I remember that shit because I was the only child. Well, I had no choice. We had one TV. I had to watch what the fuck they watched. And I remember that it was like, oh, this motherfucker's out of control. And I was like, oh my God, everybody's all upset. Let me see what they're watching, you know. And I remember Harry Reasoner with those little funny numbers with the Vietnam War they show on Sunday night, showing that people died and shit. But what I'm trying to say is that this shit ain't new. But the press, as we all said, your phrase, it's about the money. You know, they knew. David K. Johnston, I mean, he's been You know, he's been doing research on this guy. And if you lived in the Northeast, you knew this guy was fucking trouble. That's why I always say, well, he'll never win. Remember, I kept saying, oh, he'll never win. He'll never win. He'll never win. Then it was like, when he broke, when Philadelphia started to break, when Philadelphia started to break, the most democratic place in the
country. I remember the night you called all freaked out.
I sounded fucked up, didn't I?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, no, you sounded freaked out. You sounded bothered, scared.
See? You remember, Bob. You remember. You know what? And I'm two blocks from where I remember where I called you. I'm two blocks away from where I called you. I was like, it was near Halloween. It was October. It was in October. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew that something crazy was going to happen. So the things that are happening now, because I can sense, you know, you maybe want to move on. Maybe people are calling you, but it's just so much I didn't talk to you. But this is why people need to stand up a little bit. Because I'm beyond, you know, black people did not make the water muddy. We ain't make this water muddy. This shit is fucked up because other people did things.
Oh, but you want to know how screwed up it is? I have seen some Sparkle Pony responses saying that. Let's see, what was it? Terry McAuliffe set up this alt-left versus alt-right battle for the benefit of Hillary Clinton.
Wait.
I saw that on my Twitter feed. I mean, it's some crazy shit. Which is another little piece of evidence that suggests that 2018 and 2020 is not going to be much different from 2016, because there's a significant number of people on our side who still can't get it right.
Okay. All right. Two things. I got two things right now. Number one, I love your phrase about the one question I keep that. Because look how relevant that shit is now. And you know, I was in Jill Stein's camp, man, so bad. I was right there. I was ready to give her coffee and everything. So that bitch started doing bong hits and fucking whatever in the limo, and she missed the goddamn plane. Now what the fuck?
No, she didn't miss the plane. She didn't miss the plane. She thought Cincinnati was Columbus. She didn't know the difference. Cincinnati, Columbus, they're both in Ohio. They both begin with C. What the fuck?
Look, man, good bud is everywhere. You don't have to make your goddamn mind.
Wait a minute. Wait.
You got to pick and choose, man. We're fucking grown people, man. Come on. Just wait a couple hours. You'll be good. You'll be all right. Just fucking slow down. I know of what I see. Now, right. Okay. That's, yeah, see? And you know, people lost friends and everything. But yeah, sometimes you have to play defense. Just because the press did not do their job, they didn't do their fucking job. This shit, I'm telling you, man. Everybody knew. Anybody in New York, Philly, everybody, Atlantic City, everybody knew what an asshole this guy was. And racist, always.
Yeah, I saw a tweet. Damn. I saw a tweet from Anthony Bourdain the other day who said, people in New York have known who Donald Trump was for decades. The rest of the country is just now figuring it out.
Exactly. Just like they call us, what they say, the inner city. That's supposed to be black people, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
And urban, say, urban, urban. The word you want is urban.
Urban, that's it. Urban. Let me get my terms right. Yeah, urban. And then middle America is just like dumbass white people in wherever. No, I don't know, middle America. I don't know. What does middle America mean to you, Bob?
You know, there's so many different phrases for it. Flyover country. The heartland. Based on what I'm able to tell, whenever people use that term, they're talking about people who vote for Republicans, even though Republicans don't do them any goddamn good.
Hey, And I like the way you said that.
I'm not going to use that phrase about how they vote against their own interests, because that's just loaded with so much smug, liberal, holier-than-thouism that I can't stand it. It might even be true, but to hear somebody say that who, you know, doesn't know the difference between grits and gravy, it grates on my nerves.
And you know what? And it should. And that this will segue into my, you know me and you already brought it up, me and my favorite morning show. All right. So, Washington Journal, T-SPAN, nonprofit, you know, funded by all the people who pay for cable television, which I have not in decades now. So, this is what I'm saying. When you listen to these people unfiltered that call in, this shows me, someone who I've had my foot in a lot of different areas, but mostly near or in education. And when I hear these people call in, our educational system has failed. It has fucking failed. When you hear these motherfuckers call in, they don't know history. Then they listen to these fucking...
Right, and why did it fail? I mean, we can take a minute for that, Todd.
It was a fucking plan.
You're damn right it was planned. It goes back to Brown versus Board of Education. When all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical white folks set up all their precious little Christian academies for the precious little white children to go to, and then started hollering about, well, I don't want my taxes to go support the public school system. Now, they loved the public school system till non-white folks started getting to attend it with their precious little white children. And so you begin to see the gradual collapse of the public school system once white people were forced to let the rest of the country participate in it. And it didn't happen all at once.
That was the thing.
Like I said, it's a gradual slide into decay.
So, all right. See, there's some fucked up shit going on right now. This is some really fucked up shit. Like, I'm feeling it. Like, the little convenience store up the street from me where I go to get my beer, certain types of beer. They only sell cheap beer. So I only go there once, you know, whatever. But the little guy in there, he looks like he's about maybe, I don't know. I can't tell. White people age older than black people, honestly. His skin is all fucked up, I know it sounds terrible, but it's the truth.
I'm living proof. My hair turned white when I was 32.
Oh shit! What? Are you fucking serious, man?
Yeah, it happens in my family on both sides. Our hair turned.
Did it call you Phil Donahue?
No, I remember walking into a buddy's office down home. One day, and he looked at me and he said, "When did you see the burning tree?" And then that's when look it up. Too much to it, but it, that's when I yeah, my hair's white. And it, you know, and I had corn silk hair when I was born. Well, no, I didn't have much hair at all when I was born.
I know it's white now, but all right, I know it's white.
But yeah, I mean, I got married, and 2 years later, my hair was snow white. And so was my grandfather's, both of them. It either falls out or turns white. In my case, it's fallen out. It's turned white and fallen out.
Well,
I mean, if we ever start getting the big George Soros money checks, I'm definitely having me some plugs.
Oh man, come on! No, we can do better than that. We'll figure something out.
It's on the list. After I get my spleen taken care of so I can play golf again, then I'll get plugs.
I'm talking about golf.
So I got to get my spleen taken care of so I can play golf again. Then I'll have to buy the checkered pants and be a real white guy, and then I'll get the plugs.
Joe, are you good to last one quarter of when you hit off the tee and then, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Because if anybody, I don't know, a lot of people don't play golf, but some people do. But it's to me, golf is a lot like tennis. Like, you know, when you connect right with that ball and you watch, well, you're not supposed to look at the ball, but you know, you catch it at the last second. But you can feel it. Like, there's a sweet spot on the racket, and there's a sweet spot on that club.
Yeah, that's the when you, that's the comeback shot. You sucked for 17 holes, and you stand up on the tee and you tee up and you hit it, and you hear that click, and frankly the click is much more satisfying on an old persimmon headed club, metal sends it further, so never mind, but you hit it and then you wait and you look up and you see it and it's already 100 yards downrange and still flying. And there's not a pro on tour who could hit it any better than you just did. And the whole sucky day just falls away. And you're like, man, I can't wait to come back. And then you get down the fairway, and maybe you hit a good approach shot, and then you three-putt, and you go, oh, I fucking hate this game.
But you still feel okay, because you know you hit the damn ball right. Man, and people haven't seen it. It's like it gets another breath. The ball is just on the dimples in the average. There's some research. The dimples on the ball do that. It does some freaky shit. When you hit it right, it does freaky shit.
Oh, and
shit.
You know, no, I mean, I've got a. Well, back when I was still playing, I had a slice for the ages. I tended to hit the ball with the club face open. And so it would start out, it was a big, booming, long, hard fly. And then it would just go, ha. And fade away to the right until it was like 9 miles in the woods, or a lake, or a convenient bunker.
See, I'm gonna tell you that's when you learn. That's when you like after you take lessons. That's when you learn. Like, well, you know, this is my natural stroke, so I have to work with what I have until I can do it academically. You know, how you're showing me. But I'll never forget, man. I had the PGA guys teach me because I was teaching kids how to play golf, and then PGA people came in. That changed my game. I was like, oh my god, now I know why people like this shit. When you fucking click, oh my god, it's nothing like it. It's like, wow. I mean, that damn ball will go so fucking far. I mean, I'm a tall guy, so I can stroke it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But wow. Anyway, I didn't want to get caught up in that.
No, but that was a fun little digression. Todd, I'm glad to hear from you, man. It's been 4 days, it's a silent R. Lamar telling me, aim left, Bob. Oh, my God, my slice was so bad, I wound up aiming perpendicular to the fairway just to fade it back in. No, it was pathetic. But fun. But it's awful good to hear from you, man. I hope we'll talk again soon, all right?
Keep your barbecue burning.
Absolutely. I was thinking about doing I got to tell you. I brought back a load of Kaneka.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Wait a minute. What flavor?
Every flavor.
Damn.
I brought back hot. I brought back regular. I brought back the small size. I brought back the big size. I brought back the Cajun.
You know what? I heard you say something, and I never did comment on it. How do they have Kaneka way up? You said New Hampshire they have. I remember that. You said it. New Hampshire.
I got nothing. I don't know. I finally found out, though, and it's at least reassuring. If I'm willing to make a four-hour road trip down to, well, more like three, hour and a half, 2 hours down, about an hour and a half down to Bluefield, Virginia, which is, you know, you go across the street from Bluefield, West Virginia, you're in Bluefield, Virginia. Food City down there has it. So if I get real bad off, at least I know it's within striking distance.
Well,
the barbecue that I love is not. And the one thing, and I'll tell you this before we bring off. The one thing that I did not get while I was down there, I didn't have time to run through Tuscaloosa and get the best ribs on God's green earth. I did not get a chance to go to the original location of Dreamland.
Well,
among other things, I figured they were coming back to school at the University of Alabama, and I knew I would not be able to get near the place. Plus, we were traveling on Monday, and they're closed on Mondays.
Yeah, Mondays, good restaurants usually. People have to rest.
Yeah, well, yeah, because right after the weekend, and a place like Dreamland's been absolutely covered up. So, yeah. So that I gotta save that. I gotta save that for another trip.
Now, apparently you're a white guy. Apparently. Yeah.
Well, last I checked, I mean, yeah, pretty, yeah, pink.
You're phenotype, you know. You're phenotype.
I did not come back looking like Captain Pike, though, so I was very careful at the beach.
Oh, and by the way, I got back to up. It's not about me. Oh, my God. So anyway, I was listening, and I heard you talking about the little car. And I have a car. I had a car where I hit my head. I know exactly what you're talking about when you hit your head. People are tall, don't understand. It's like, you look all awkward when you get in the car, but come on. Some of these cars are dangerous. They have point. I'm like, why the fuck they have a little fucking tight point? I almost got impaled, man. Honest to God. That shit happened. That shit fucking happened. That Sentra, no. I mean, look, just do the Corolla. You know, if that's what you want to do, just copy the Corolla. That's all you have to do. Don't fuck around.
Well, this was a Nissan Sentra, and I will never own one.
Man, can't do it. I'm too tall. I couldn't
get the seats far back enough. I mean, it felt like my right. By the time we were done, from my right ass cheek down to my knee, along the hamstring, felt like it was on fire. There was no way to get comfortable.
Yeah, well, they're not made for big, you know, tall people, or, you know, big people, tall people.
Yeah, but it wasn't about the comfort, it was about the cost. Because instead of getting 20 miles a gallon, I was getting 32.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Well, it had that little you know, when I was on the mountain roads, you can hit that little button that says sport, and it tightens up the suspension, and it kind of pretends it's a decent car for a little bit. But when you get out on the open interstate, you push the button, it's called eco, and you know, the magic happens, and you get a couple more miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is all I want to know. Like, at what point do the rational folks say, to use your phrase, this person is unable to discharge his duty? In other words, because it's very nebulous. I've been studying this.
I will tell you exactly when, Todd. When they stop getting everything they want from him. So far, there is no. So far, legislatively, I mean, they can't get anything done because he's so inept. But they still feel like they're within striking distance of being able to fuck tens of millions of people out of health care, give away the national treasury to the rich, you know, steal everything that isn't nailed to the floor, and fuck anything that stands still long enough for them to get into it. I mean, in other words, what Republicans do. And as long as that remains the case, they will continue to support him. Even if he goes straight up Charlie Manson and carves a swastika into his forehead.
Bob Kincaid, I got one question for you. I just want to know. Now, I'm a voter for Donald Trump told me he's going to make America great again, and I believe him. He's a good American. He's got that beautiful family, them blonde haired women, and everything like that. Oh, look. Now, look. When is he going to make it so we can get jobs? I need some jobs.
Well, there's already all kinds of jobs coming down there on the Gulf Coast. They're gonna have a Amazon facility and a Walmart intergalactic spaceport. distribution center, and Foxconn's gonna put every single person in Wisconsin to work and let them live in little dormitories with suicide nets outside the windows. Oh, we're going to have all kinds of jobs, even though every one of those was planned, you know, before Donald Trump ever even thought about running for office. But never mind. Yeah. One last little bit of food porn, and then we're done. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Agnes ordered the single most beautiful meal that I saw down there. It was a couple of fried green tomatoes.
No, a couple. Wait a minute.
Well, a couple
you
of
sound like very small portions. You're like a couple of.
It was a couple of slice. It was a couple of slices of fried green tomato.
That's some fucked up shit. All right.
Covered with a couple of crab cakes with crab meat fresh out of the Gulf.
Well, that's not good. That's not bad.
And there was no binder to it. It was almost all crab meat.
Mm.
And then the whole thing was covered. You might just, you know, get both hands on the wheel there, Todd, because it's gonna be rough. The whole thing was covered with a Kaneka cream sauce.
Damn. No. Alabama. Wow. Really?
And a view that looked right out on Mobile Bay.
Okay. Now I understand.
Watching the little mullets leap out of the water.
Well, you know what? It was a good trip.
It was good. It was too short. But you know, we'll go back.
Hey, I saw my woman, and you know, you did what you had to do, and everything's good, man. And then we'll talk about that later. And it's you know what, we have to focus on the simple things in life now, because some people have their whatever they think is real is terrible. And we can't allow our whole culture to get sucked up into that. Somebody say, no, stop.
Yep. All right, Todd, you have yourself a good evening. We will talk soon. I'm thinking seriously about barbecue this weekend. I'll send you pictures if I do.
Please do. Hey, corn, my man.
And corn, if there's any decent left. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd calling from somewhere out on the road. I take it on his way home from being up and down the East Coast. It's kind of like in the book of Job, where Lucifer comes wandering in, and God says, "Where you been?" "Oh, just wandering up and down the earth, seeing what's shaking." And it goes from there. But no, Todd is not the devil. We all know who the devil is. So the line is open if you want to jump in. 304-574-8178. 22 minutes past the hour. Thank you very kindly to Charlene. Thanks, Charlene. Thank you very much indeed. You reduced the fundraising for this evening down to $220. And that's a number I can handle. You know, 10 at 22, 22 at 10. One at 220, two at 110, four at 55, eight at 2250. But we got about 38 minutes to raise $220. We can do that. And let's run over and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good evening. How are you?
You know, I'm back. I'm okay. I'm hanging on.
Well, sounds like you've kind of been ridden hard and hung up wet.
It was a lot of driving.
Yeah, for a lot of people, driving is a pleasure. It never was for me. At one time it was. But,
it was a lovely time. It was the first time Agnes and I had been alone together in a car in 24 years.
Well, I'm sure that was nice, too. You know, pursuant to the initial portion of your program where you were talking to that woman who was crying and all this other stuff, that other guy going on about, what was he going on about? He gave his phone number out.
Oh, he was afraid he was going to be, he expected to be arrested, but he was afraid the cops were going to kill him or the mean liberals were going to get him.
Well, I called the number. It didn't work.
Oh, darn the luck.
Well, I sent you an email. But that's okay. I started laughing when I heard both of us two, combining both of us two of my own mind, essentially. And I don't mean to just say it here because my speaker is it.
Yeah, it's coming. Out? Yeah, it's coming through. If you could turn those off, it'd be great.
Yeah, I'm trying to just a minute. Oh Lord, Rufus does not know where his voice is coming from. Just a second, please, sir.
Hey, Rufus.
Anyway, I started thinking about something you just made me laugh. And the only thing I could think of was that mafia guy who appeared before the Keith Oliver Committee, and they asked him what he'd ever done for his country. Remember that one?
Yeah.
He said, I'll pay my tax.
I'll pay my taxes. That's right.
I'll pay my tax.
And you know, Donald Trump can't even say that.
I know it. You know, I'm really scared of that son of a bitch because, you know, I was just thinking, and I heard somebody else saying this today, that if that guy is really getting to this point where he is cornered like a rat, and if he still has that nuclear football with an Ewo sitting outside his door, there's no accounting what he might do.
Well, Jim, consider, and look, I think that's what made it so
a
much.
A Nero order?
I mean, before all the Charlottesville stuff went down, the big story that was cooking along when I wasn't supposed to be paying attention to the news while I was gone was that it looked like he was on the verge of nuking North Korea. And I think that's what has a lot of us. That's what has a lot of us nervous, is this idea that the guy is so goddamn unstable, he could do anything at any time. Which, if I can connect a dot, kind of explained to me why after he refused to condemn Nazis, or tried to explain to us all about the nice Nazis. That's why the head of every military branch, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, and the Air Force, and the Marines, all issued tweets saying, we are a non-prejudiced, integrated, non-bigoted military, and that's the end of it. And don't you think that, because see, I mean, we're talking about people with four stars on their shoulders.
I know we are. Trouble is.
And those
those
people are as subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice as any buck private.
Well, Chief of Staff, no comment, as far as I know.
Right, but the generals and the admirals were all saying the same thing.
Well,
and if you'll pardon me saying so, I think that might be a little hint to the nation that maybe they might. I mean, at least you hope. That if this guy proves to be batshit crazy and tries to nuke somewhere, that maybe they might not go along with it.
Well, trouble is, they set it up so that he could bypass them because of strategic necessity. Now, it used to be when a perceived threat was inbound or whatever like that, well, whether it was a plane that was off course or whatever, you never can tell how electronics work. I mean, we've had a lot of mistakes and stuff like that that have brought us very close to a nuclear exchange. And they found out it was a bad transistor or whatever. People think it's totally foolproof. It is not. And I know this for a fact. But if you let that asshole get some type of inbound type of thing or what he feels like he is perceived as a threat. I mean, you can only imagine what goes on in this guy's mind all night. I mean, he's up at 5:30 in the morning sitting at all this outrageous shit. You can imagine what's going on between his two ears. And the fact that he can send an emergency action message to a missile boat, it does not leave me very, very happy.
No, there's reason to be nervous. And it may get more so, Jim. I don't know if you realize this or not, but are you familiar with a publication called The Spectator?
I've heard of that. That's enthrall me with your acumen, please.
So there's an article in The Spectator by Paul Wood, and it describes the legal problems of Felix Sater, S-A-T-E-R.
No, I'm not familiar with it. I'm sorry.
Well, Felix Sater is one of the sleazy real estate guys that's a former business partner of Donald Trump.
Okay.
And apparently, Felix Sater is cooperating with authorities.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with this.
Speaking to New York Magazine, Felix Sater said, "In about the next 30 to 35 days, I'll be the most colorful character you've ever talked about. Unfortunately, I can't talk about it now before it happens. And believe me, it ain't anything as small as whether or not they're going to call me to the Senate committee."
Well, so, I hope that guy can live to tell us what he's going to say. But he's standing a good chance of being eliminated.
Well, he's also said to his family that me and Trump are going to prison.
Well, I hope he's left all this information in some kind of a lockbox somewhere in off M Street at that bank there, you know?
Yeah.
Riggs Bank. I hope he's done it wherever he is.
But if the heat gets hot, and it hasn't even really gotten hot on Trump, and he's already coming unglued.
There he is.
If the steam begins to scorch his ass, anything can happen.
He would... I think, given his personality profile, he would, rather than be taken down, he'd rather take the rest of us down with him. Issue what I call a Nero order. The same thing that Hitler did during his last days when he told Speer, take it all down.
Yeah, get everybody killed. And oddly enough, Michael Moore, filmmaker.
Right.
Fahrenheit 9/11, that kind of thing. He's got a Broadway play going right now called The Terms of My Surrender.
I've heard of this.
And interviewed by Reuters in an interview that was published today, he said of Trump, "This guy's going to get us all killed. There's nobody in charge. This man has the nuclear codes. I'm hoping somebody in the Pentagon's protecting us. Like, whatever's in that nuclear briefcase, it's just some girlfriend's phone number or something. Mm-mm-mm. I'm just hoping that it's not the real numbers because we're in desperate shape here."
It used to be where he had to go through certain chains of chain of command or whatever. But the trouble is he and he alone can send out those codes. With an EAM, that's what he can do.
We've all seen Dr. Strangelove.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to go through the JCS. It doesn't have to go through anybody, except for him to get up and decide. Well, you know, I've decided that we are under some type of imminent threat, and it could be something that he has imagined in his own mind that isn't even real. I mean, people who are psychotic perceive these types of things that aren't reality. And that's where I think this guy is not headed. He's been there for a long time. I mean, he has no sense of guilt, no sense of...
decency.
Compassion, decency. He's treated people like shit all of his own life. He is a complete and total sociopath.
I don't
That's
disagree.
Exactly what he is.
I don't disagree.
And, today I saw him on, or yesterday it was on TV, and he was at the Trump Tower, and he had his stand in front of all that faux whatever it is. It looked more like a damn bordello, and the only thing they needed was to do an upshot and see mirrors on the ceiling of wherever he was, and I thought to myself, and this is our president? He's broadcasting.
Well, did you see the cutaway footage of John Kelly, the chief of staff?
No, yeah. And he looked like he was just like, you know, weeping with burning sorrow.
The word that came to my mind was mortified.
Yeah, absolutely.
He would have been happy if the earth would have opened and swallowed him whole.
Well, yeah. And, you know, he's thrown all of his Secret Service people into a trailer outside the Trump Tower.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Secret Service, if whatever, I guess they couldn't pay enough rent or whatever, I don't know. But they're outside in some kind of trailer, and I thought to myself, well, you know, that'll give you a little idea of exactly how really fucking crazy this guy is. I mean, he has tried to subvert every angle of wise conduct as a government official, our president, our commander in chief, that it's like something out of some type of bizarre movie. I mean, I tell you the truth, actually, if you want to compare him with those dictators in the world, I would think some of them here probably a lot more intelligent than he is acting. And they could have come up to a position that would be at least more believable. But this guy is just not believable at all. I mean, he will come out and do these tweets at 5:30 in the morning or whenever it is. He's up all night, and God only knows what he's taking for it. I don't know who his doctor is. His doctor said, well, he's the most fit person to ever be president of the United States. That's what he is. With that cord silk.
Oh, no, no, yeah, that freak,
Yeah, cotton candy hair and that spray tan and stuff like that. He probably inhales that stuff and gets off on it. But, you know, it's just really scary as hell. It really is. I mean, this guy is just, like I've told you before I had to go in the hospital, if you, and I think I said this for your program back in early part of October, if you had told me last summer, this time of year, that son of a bitch would be president of this country, I would have said, you have lost your mind. And as summer went into fall, and September and October, I called a relative of mine who was a big Trump person. Oh, Lord. And in spite of that, we still kind of get along, okay? And I said, your candidate is won. She said, what do you mean? I said, yeah, he's going to take it. He's going to win. But I'm going to ask you this. Will he survive his term? Or will we survive with him?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not worried about him surviving. I'm worried about the rest of us.
Mm-mm. That's absolutely right. I mean, have you ever, you know, it looks like, and I put this on my Facebook and sent it out, it's like the White House with a big circus set over it. I mean, I don't think Barnum and Bailey could equal some of the stuff that's gone on in there and their machinations. I'm sure, I mean, I talk about verbal and personnel trapeze acts in there. No wonder the whole world was just laughing at this. They're just laughing at us. And yeah, there is no dignity at all. And when I look back to the days of President Obama, who was a person of whom I could be proud to be my president, and if I look at this asshole, I can't deal with it. I shouldn't be saying these things, but I don't give a flying fuck. I really don't. I've had it. excuse the expletives, obliterative, but I think a lot of people within the sound of my voice feel the same.
No,
way.
Jim, there's we are as of Sunday, we will have had him as president of the United States for 7 months, and it feels like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how the length of the Second World War felt to people stateside at home, but it must have felt like an eternity. But at least there was a president in the White House who continued to extend and convey a calming influence.
You're right. I had lots of long talks with my parents about this. Particularly my mother, my dad was away. And, you know, they took it, they dealt with rationing, and they clung together. They couldn't ride in a car. My mother walked the street, and she sold bonds for that, only for that purpose, not anything else. But that's exactly what she said. You know, for a while, I was a streetwalker. I said, Mom, what are you talking about? She said, I used to walk the street selling bonds.
And had this, yeah, mother
had this big certificate from Governor Bayback and Governor of South Carolina because she had really saw more than a lot of people. And it was an exciting time for her, she said. But she always knew in the back of her mind that we would win because we had a good man in the White House and we were right. And our cause was just.
Yeah. And so it must have, you know, with the rationing and the hardships at home, never mind what it was like to be in a theater, but it must have felt like it was going on forever. But, you know, we were in the war from December 7th, 1941.
Till May 8th, 1945.
Well, August 1945.
Yep, in Europe, and then, yeah, absolutely, August 9th.
Not even a full 4 years, okay?
Right.
But here we are looking at 7 months of Donald Trump that feel like 7 years.
You know, she told me the times that were most anxious for her were pre-World War One, between 39 and 41.
Because everybody knew it was just a matter of waiting for the balloon to go up.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was almost with a period, and I'm quoting from what she told me, a period of relief. Because now we could, you know, number one, mobilize, bring this country back, because that's really what brought us out of the Depression anyway, in spite of Roosevelt.
And I can understand that sense, Jim, but it doesn't obtain here because with all the drum beating and the saber rattling going on, if you give in to that urge and you say screw it, do it, you know, just get going. I mean, we're gonna do this fucked up thing. Just do it. You know what a disaster it will be, and you know how devastating for this country it will be.
You mean referencing war or
yeah?
Trump
I mean, let's see. I mean, it's amazing. He was promising fire and fury. By the way, he stole that from Harry Truman, talking about the...
I know. That's exactly what he told the Japanese, that a rain of ruin would come down from the sky or something to that effect.
He used the word fury, I think, Truman did. So
yeah, he did.
He stole that.
Yeah.
So he's saber-rattling against North Korea. He's saber-rattling against Iran. And now, with one of the largest, if not the largest, proven reserves of oil on planet Earth, he's decided all of a sudden he's concerned about what's happening in Venezuela.
Listen, this guy is going from place to place.
He wants a war, Jim.
Well, what he's also trying to do is this. He's trying to divert the attention of the country and the world away from his own stuff, his own background that he knows will be like sunlight being cast onto his vampire's face.
Well, you remember when Bill Clinton ordered a cruise missile strike in Africa, and every Republican from the cradle to the grave screamed,
He's wagging the dog. He's trying to divert our attention from what a sexual freak he is. Remember that?
No. Yeah, I do. I sure do.
And here's this, and there's not a single Republican out there talking about wag the dog?
Yeah, the thought had occurred to me. But I think that's what he's trying to do. He goes from one place to the other, trying to stir up something. I mean, Kim Jong-un. Well, you know, he's always good for a good week of national crisis and terror. Well, but nobody realizes that he's going to do anything like that. I mean, China stepped right on his ass. And Kim Jong-un knows that if anything happens, he's gone. But what does Kim Jong-un want? He wants to stay in power. And if I were Kim Jong-un, I would hold on to my missiles. Because the other people who've lost their defenses, like Gaddafi and Hussein, well, guess what happened to them? That's what in the back of his mind. So we'll go from North Korea, and we'll go somewhere else. Venezuela. And he's going to somewhere else.
He doesn't want to fuck with Iran because Iran's not Iraq. And he doesn't want to fuck with North Korea in a conventional sense because there is, I mean, look, Steve Bannon himself said there is no military solution to North Korea.
Exactly.
So I'm guessing the Venezuelan military is not in the best shape.
Oh, no, not at all. It wasn't even in good shape under the previous one.
If that's the case, then maybe they might be the pushover.
Or whomever he selects next. I mean, that's what these people in his position do. They want to transfer any type of attention from themselves to somewhere else and create these imaginary situations. I mean, Hitler did this.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm getting at, Jim. He's looking for the most convenient place to start a Reichstag fire.
Like Hitler had all these damn fake films made out about how Germans were being mistreated in Czechoslovakia, how they were being mistreated in Poland, and this, that, and the other. It was all propaganda bullshit. And it was something to take people's attention off and try to give him some type of justified cause of doing something he should never have done. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. And what is going to happen with this dangerous man, this lunatic.
Dangerously unstable and incapable of fulfilling the duties of his office.
And look at the people with whom he surrounded himself, his family. My God, all of them are under some potential indictment. I mean, that son-in-law of his, what's his name, Kushner?
Yeah.
Hey, he's a real great fella, and he has such compassion.
Slumlord.
In Maryland. You know, I used to live, when I was in D.C., first I lived, you know, in northwest D.C., and then over in Falls Church. And when I went over to Andrews, I moved over to Maryland because I just couldn't fight the traffic. It was just too hard. And I remember in the complex in which I lived at that time was mixed. And they were the nicest people in the world, black and white. As a matter of fact, I dropped my wallet. And I said, oh, shit, what's going to happen to me? And there was a knock at my door. And it was this young black man said, Mr. Anderson, I think you need this. But then when I was going to work one day or coming back from lunch, this black woman had been evicted. And she was sitting there in broiling hot sun. You know how hot it gets in D.C. in July and August?
Miserable.
And she was sitting there in the middle of a field with all of her furniture, everything she owned, bookcases, beds, you name it, and was sitting there. And I couldn't believe this. I mean, if I could have done something for her, I would have. But I couldn't. I was just powerless. Absolutely. I mean, I'd never seen such a thing like this. And this is exactly what Kushner and that $30 billion $90 billion a year, and they
do that routinely.
$30 billion yeah. Profit. I mean, these are the people who are of the same mindset
as his father-in-law. And not to take away from Kushner, But when you read the thing that the unintentional on the record interview that Bannon gave to the prospect, no, not the prospect, yeah, the prospect, it made me think last night. We need to. Everything's been Bannon. We need to pay a little closer attention to old Seb Gorka. Have you seen that freak?
Yeah, is that the one who wore that medal to the inauguration?
Yeah.
You know where that medal came from, don't you?
The Nazis.
But worse than them, in his country, when it was overrun, they had what they called the Iron Guard, and they were more Nazis than the Nazis. That's exactly where that fucking medal came from. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be cursing like this, and I apologize.
But I mean, he is. No, he is. He's a, you know, Dr. Gorka is.
Greetings.
Yeah, he's a straight up. I mean, that fucker probably goose steps to the bathroom in the morning. And he deserves a little more attention than he's getting because Bannon sucks all the oxygen out of the room. But that's fine too. Trump's pissed off at him because what'd he say? That fucking Bannon is, I mean, that's the phrase. That fucking Steve Bannon is taking credit for my election. Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't heard that one. Well, I guess he's trying, what's he trying to do, blame Bannon that he's in the White House? You know, did this guy ever really want to be president? Do you really think he really did?
Oh, yeah, he did. He wanted to be...
I just wondered.
No, Jim, he wanted to be what he imagined the presidency to be. There's no one... You know, he'd gotten as wealthy as he could ever get. And to be a titan of industry would actually mean hard work, arguably.
That man said it was a hard work.
He's never worked a day in his life.
He's
never broken a sweat. That didn't involve something licentious.
Well, what about that?
But he perceived the presidency as the height, the epitome of fame, and that's what the crazy little bastard wants. Fame. He yearns for it. He needs it. His soul keens for it. It's as close to being royal as this country offers. And he surrounded himself, Jim, with the trappings of nouveau riche trash royalty, like stealing somebody's family crest and replacing the Latin motto simply with the word Trump. He did that.
Well, folks I knew in New York always referred to him and any of his people as just white trash. And that's exactly what he is. He's nothing but white trash.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken
and
to refer.
An old man who cheated the shit out of people to do what he did. And when Trump, you know, got over across the river into Manhattan, he made a lot of people's lives very unhappy.
And then you've got that jackass, what's his name? Cohen, I think. I can't remember. Who, after Trump's nice Nazis remarks, tweeted out a series of photographs of him standing next to black people and said, my parents were Holocaust survivors. Just because I support Donald Trump doesn't mean I'm a racist. You know, my response to that, no, you little son of a bitch. It means you're a capo.
Well, here's the thing. You talk about nice Nazis. We're going to go back to Albert Speer again, Hitler's architect and his armaments minister. Now, you know, at Nuremberg trials, he came off, he was slick, he was well-educated, he spoke more than one language, and he was able to just get down on his knees and waller, so to speak. Not wallow, but waller.
No, I know what waller, anybody who speaks Southern knows the difference between wallow and waller.
That's exactly what he did. And you know what? It bought him his life. But if he were to be tried again, and if I were to be on the tribunal, I would have hanged him higher than Haman. I mean, even his deputy, who was basically uneducated and, you know, took orders from Speer, they strung him up. Speer got 20 years, got out in 66, wrote books, did all kinds of deals with stolen art treasures that people didn't know that he had. No taxes were levied upon those transactions, and yet, you know, he died in his bed. But he was just as guilty in spite of his handsome head, his pleasant demeanor, and his architectural renderings. He was just as guilty as any of those bastards in the dock at Nuremberg, and he should have been executed. He got away. And that's, you know, it's just amazing how people can, with a certain degree of legitimacy, to get away and avoid being hit by the target. It's just talking about missing the bullet. A lot of them have, and they will. But you know, with Trump and his family getting back to them, these people are just so wound up in their own theft, and that's exactly what it is, theft. And they have very craftily, with highly paid lawyers and using bankrupt codes and stuff like that, they've just basically left other people in the lurch while they gathered what they could. Other people have been left penniless, and they made off like bandits. I mean, Trump could never get a contractor to work for him because he'd find some reason not to pay him. And I tried to tell people this when they would tell me who the guy he was and he was getting up on these damn things he had before the election, these rallies, these Nazi fucking rallies. Get him out. And acting like a fool. And I tried to tell him, I said, do you not know anything about this man's financial history and what he's tried to do to his president, you know, the current president at the time? Screaming all this about birtherism, this, that, and the other. And he's tried to play so many both sides of the middle. And him coming out on the stage saying, you know, well, you know, I use those bankruptcy laws in the Congress. I just use what the Congress gave me. And then him coming out there with Trump vodka, Trump steaks, and all this kinds of stuff. And I would tell people in my hometown who were for him, I said, can you not detect that this guy is not running on all cylinders, that he is a walking picnic basket, many shortage short of sandwiches? He's nuts. And they said, well, he says what I like to hear. And he is for our boys in uniform. And I said, how the fuck can he be if our boys in uniform? Well, this son of a bitch has never worn a uniform in his life except that of asshole. I mean, believe you me, I really had some serious exchanges with people about that son of a bitch before he got elected. But like I said, I'll go back to what I said before. This time last year, I had hopes. But as he went into the fall, I realized he was going to probably take it because there would be some trick that he would probably pull, and he would end up, you know, using the Electoral College and screaming about Hillary Clinton, lock her up, those emails, all this kinds of shit, over and over and over and over again. And there'd be no logic to what the guy said. I mean, he could not keep a train of thought if he had to. It was just very cat and dog. And, you know, when people are like that, when I hear somebody talk and they can't keep a consistent flow of thought and they go from one thing to the other, what I have been trained as an interrogator, okay, I did part of that, okay, is to realize this person is A, lying, and B, they are mentally incompetent.
Hear, hear. Jim, we got to go.
Well, you take care. I hope I haven't taken too much of your program.
You haven't. You haven't at all. You have not at all.
Well,
so you have yourself a good evening, and I'm going to get on out of here.
Well, you take care.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Our buddy Jim, calling from not at all too far from here. Quick update from Spain, from Las Ramblas. Catalan police say alleged terrorists have been neutralized in Cambrils. So we will we'll finish the evening. I've enjoyed it immensely. I hope this has had some meaning for you. Thank you for sparing some of your precious finite time on this little precious blue-green marble hurtling through the universe in this conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you to the overnight crew for keeping things from being worse than they could have been as far as keeping the lights on here. Thank you, Charlene, for being the only one to jump in this evening. Much appreciated. Tomorrow evening, depending on what the overnight crew does, the fundraising goal will be $420. So thank you very much to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to all-around great guy Steve in the chat room. Thank you to John Fox. I've got some fascinating information about Charlottesville that I meant to get to from John here. Maybe tomorrow night. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.